As most of you know, by the way, some of you are already in 1 Thessalonians. We're not going there this morning, but I appreciate the fact that you know where we've been. That's exciting. Most of you know my mother passed away about a year and a half ago. And last Christmas, my dad was in a car accident. And because of that, he's been living with my brother for the last 6 months. And we knew, really, as soon as Mom passed away, because of their financial situation, that they would have to sell the house. And the house has been on the market. We have a contract on the house. My brother called me a couple weeks ago. And amazingly, I have a sister, two sisters, one sister who's usually in New Guinea, but is in South Carolina right now, another sister in South Carolina, a brother in Ohio, a brother in California. And amazingly, we were all able to get together this week in Ohio and began the process of cleaning out my parents' house. I'll be honest with you, when I walked in Monday afternoon and I looked and I thought, oh my soul, there is no chance that this is ever going to get done. My dad is 85, be 86 in October, and I in no way mean disrespect to my parents, and I'm going to try really hard not to do that. I've come up with a good word. They were collectors. That's a nice term, don't you think? My dad loved to go to auctions and buy stuff cheap. They had a large house, two-story house, and a barn, I'm guessing 30 by 50. Not much smaller than this, I don't think. In fact, it seemed bigger than this as time went on. So we got up every morning about 7 o'clock, 6 o'clock, and worked till about 11 or 12 o'clock at night, and moving stuff. Stuff and more stuff and more stuff. We had a garage sale. Well, we called it an estate sale, which really it was, because this was their estate. So, I mean, technically it was correct. But an estate sale is a glorified yard sale. It's what that is. And we had that Friday and Saturday, and it's been quite a week. Just to give an illustration of my dad's collecting, he had probably 15 boxes of Christmas stuff that he wanted to go to my brother's house, my poor brother. My brother, here's the bad news. My brother, he has that gene in his DNA, the collecting gene. His house is already, he has an unfinished basement that is full of stuff. And now he has more stuff. And I was moving this Christmas stuff, and I found a gallon jug of looked like water, dirty water, and it said Christmas tree, or it said tree water. Okay? This, you know, my dad always had a real Christmas tree, and this is the miracle water. And the miracle water would keep the tree alive, and I don't know really what the contents were, but, you know, probably at least 2 or 3 cents worth of contents. And he saved it every year for his Christmas tree. And that's just kind of giving that. I love my dad. My parents are great people. And again, I don't want to bring disrespect, but I just want you to understand what we were dealing with. Okay? Stuff. It is. Yeah, it is. It is. It is generational. I think it is. At least I hope so. And as we were going through the stuff, by the way, is that your wife, Sekou? Great. Wonderful to have you. We've known Sekou a long time, and his wife's been in Liberia. Great to have you with us today. Wonderful. Good. You better treat her right, buddy. All right. Good. As we were going through Mom and Dad's stuff, several thoughts and lessons kept coming to me, and it was ironic how my devotions, the passages I read in Scripture, went right along with the thoughts the Lord's giving to me. And I don't do this very often. In fact, the last time I gave a lesson like this was after my mom passed away a year and a half ago, because I really do want to give you the Word of God and just expound the Word of God. But today, I'm going to give you a lesson, and the title of the lesson today is Lessons from the Stuff. Lessons from the Stuff. By the way, when I was a freshman at Bob Jones in speech class, that was one word that my speech teacher would not let us use. Things and stuff. You know, there's not very descriptive words. But you know what? When push comes to shove, most of our life is about stuff. It really is. It's about stuff. So here we go. Main point number one, revelations from the stuff. Okay? What did we learn about my parents as we went through the stuff? And this is the kind of the positive side. Number one, we saw evidence that my parents loved the Lord. You know, your stuff tells a lot about you. If you come to my house, you will not find one fishing rod or one fishing boat. You will find some golf clubs, which are rather dusty at this point. Why is that? I like playing golf. Several times in my life, I have endured fishing. But I don't like. Now, some of you guys, you love fishing, and that's I'm not saying anything wrong with fishing. But it tells something about you, doesn't it? Your stuff tells something about you. And as we went through my parents' stuff, I found sermon notes, stacks of sermon notes. And my mom, every time she heard a sermon, she was taking notes. Some of those sermon notes she had taken, and they were handwritten, and she had retyped them, if you can imagine. So we found all these sermon notes that my mom, we found probably a shelf this wide of old lesson quarterlies. My parents were in the General Associate GRBC Church, and they used the regular Baptist press material, and they have quarterlies. These were all quarterlies that either my mom had taught and had her handwriting in, or my dad had taught and she had written in them and kept them. And I thought, well, you know what? That's awesome. They serve the Lord faithfully. I don't know that's awesome that they kept all of it, but you never know when you might need an old lesson quarterly. We found old Bibles. And one of them that we'd found before was a French Bible. My mom read in her King James Version, but she also was very fluent in French and had her devotions in French. And the writing in the Bibles. There's a missionary board that we had to take down, and it had a map of the world and pictures of all the missionaries that they knew. And every day, my mom and dad would take those cards, and they would pray for 3 missionaries every day. Now, we did that growing up, too, but they continued to do that. What a heritage. What a heritage of godliness. In Matthew 22:37, it says, Jesus said unto him, Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, and with all thy soul, and with all thy mind. Now, my parents were not perfect people, but my parents loved the Lord. And as we went through their stuff, we could see that they placed a high priority on the Word of God. My sister came out of my mom's room and she said, what do I do with this? Have you ever seen the little plastic verse packets? They little plastic cover and you put them, I don't know, there must have been 10 or 15 of them. And these were all verses that my mom had memorized as they worked with the youth. My parents were in their 80s and were working with the young people. And they were memorizing verses with them. They loved the Word of God. They taught it. They preached it. Every letter, as far as I know, that I ever received from my mother when I was at school, or even here, she always put a reference at the end. She always wanted us to read the Word of God. They loved the Word of God. They loved the Lord. Secondly, we found out that Mom loved her family. My mom and dad went to Bob Jones University many, many years ago. And even when I went there, there was a telephone, but you couldn't call across campus to the girls' dorms. Okay, now that's moot point. Everybody's got cell phones. But they had a note system. Now, I know this sounds weird and odd, but they did believe in separation there, which, by the way, I wish most of our universities believed in. But anyway, and so you would write a note to your beloved, and you would throw it in this thing, and we had guys, and their job was to run the notes back and forth between the dormitories. Okay, I know it sounds a little odd, but that's how it was. Now, my parents were there in their 50s. We found love notes from my mother to my father. Now, I'll just be honest with you. When I got down to the end, it said PSXXX, that it was a little embarrassing. And I thought, Mom, how could you? But you know what? We kept some of those. We're going to make a shadow box for my girls, and we're going to put some of those things in. It'll be neat. Do you know what? As we went through, I was so glad I didn't find anything like, oh, my mom had a secret affair with somebody. Nothing like that. She kept these notes from my dad when they were dating, and I think maybe she kept them all. What a revelation. Folks, the Word of God teaches very clearly, husbands, love your wives, and it teaches wives to submit lovingly to their husbands. And I'll be honest with you, my mom was a great example of that. Maybe too much so. When she passed away, my poor dad couldn't fix a sandwich. I mean, why was that? Because my mom did everything for him. And again, that's another generation too. But she loved, Is Joe that way? Is that what that looks about? Joe leans over and says, how do you make a peanut butter jelly sandwich anyway? You know, we had to teach Dad how to. I mean, he knew how to cook a little bit, but, you know, wash clothes and make the bed. Why? Because my mom did all of that stuff. Because she loved her husband. We found, as we went through the stuff, that my mom loved her children. Now, I know this is going to be exciting to you. I have a couple of pictures here that we found in my mom's stuff. And some of you did not know I was a great artist. These are great paintings. Now, you would say, what grade were you? You're probably thinking preschool. This was the sixth grade. This one's called Winter Fury. Isn't that nice? Now, I think the name is better than the picture, personally. And this one is called The Lonely River. I mean, isn't that moving, don't you think? I mean, that's some deep stuff. My mom kept all. The only thing I couldn't find were the blue ribbons where I won first place. I think those were misplaced, so. But now, this was in the sixth grade. I was 12. That's 43 years ago. Why did my mom keep this stuff? Because she loved her children, obviously. We found letters. This is a letter I wrote while I was a student at Bob Jones 30-some years ago that I wrote to my mother, and she kept the letter. In fact, what she did, she kept several letters from all of us, and we got those. And, you know, I know this may not mean a whole lot to you, but you know what it means to me? My mother loved me. Now, folks, we are living in a day when many women are consumed with a career and making money. My mom had one thing she was consumed with, and that was her husband and her children and serving the Lord. And as we went through her stuff, boy, we saw that very clearly, very clearly. There was no doctor's degree. Now, if you ladies have one, that's fine. I'm not picking on anybody here today, but... And I'm going to kind of touch on this later on, but you know, of all the stuff that was left, what stuff really makes an impact in the world today? What stuff is really important? The stuff she invested in. The Word of God, which will stand forever, serving God, and her children, raising her children for the Lord. Now, her children, as you know, are not perfect either. But all of her children are involved in full-time Christian service, except my brother, who used to be and is not now, but he's still serving the Lord. And to be honest with you folks, although my dad is a wonderful man and faithfully served the Lord, I attribute much of that to my mother because she loved her children. In Deuteronomy 6:7, it says, and thou shalt teach them, the children, these principles, diligently unto thy children, and shall talk of them when thou sittest in thine house, and when thou walkest by the way, when thou liest down, and when thou risest up. And let me ask you a question. Who typically does that, the mother or the father? The mother, because the mother's the one that's with them. Now, some of you women have small children, and you have seen fit to stay home and raise your children. I salute you. I mean, God has called you to the greatest task in this world in raising children to be saved and to go on and serve the Lord. And what a legacy. What a legacy. And this is the revelation from the stuff. Now let me go to the negative side. We live in a world, and let's be honest, even as believers, where we're often caught up loving stuff. And our life becomes an accumulation of stuff. You know, the more stuff you have, the better off you are. And the nicer stuff you have, you know, and when you get enough stuff, you're really somebody. I mean, that's kind of the world we live in, okay? Now, as believers, it's very easy for us to get caught up with that too, isn't it? And by the way, I'm not against stuff. There are some things that we need. As we were doing the yard sale, I said to one lady, I said, surely she was walking out with nothing in her hands. We were upset. I was going to give her something. You know, just take something with you. We had a motto. We're not trying to make money. We're trying to make room. That was our motto. So, and she didn't take anything. And I said, ma'am, surely there's something that we've got here that you need. And they said, wait a minute. Surely there's something here that you want. You may not need it, but hallelujah. Take it with you. But boy, our lives are consumed with stuff that we want. Not stuff necessarily that we need. Now, we do need some things. We need shelter over our heads, no doubt about it. Now, you probably don't need 7,000 square feet of shelter over your head. I'm going high because I don't anybody here's got, okay? Probably not. You know, you do need clothes to wear, but you probably don't need five closets full of clothes to wear. Amen. There's a man. That's a man's amen right there, brother. Come on. Come on. I won't talk about tools because that's getting personal. That's getting personal. Again, I typically preach on stuff that I don't have, so I only have one closet full of clothes, so I'm okay there. What happens even, and I'm going to talk about believers and unbelievers, when our life is consumed with stuff, what happens? Let me give you three things, okay? Number one, there is no satisfaction in stuff. Have you found that to be true? Boy, if I just had that new, you fill in the blank, and you get it. And for 6 months, you're really happy until the Joneses next door get one that's nicer than yours. And now you're not happy because the Joneses have a nicer one. And boy, turn to Ecclesiastes chapter 2. Who wrote the book of Ecclesiastes? Solomon. How would you describe Solomon? A pauper, living in terrible, didn't have much of a house, didn't have much of anything. If he wanted it, Solomon had it. Look in Ecclesiastes 2, 4 through 10. He said, I made great works and builded me houses. I planted me vineyards. I made me gardens and orchards, and I planted trees in them of all kinds of fruit. I made me pools of water to water wherewith the wood that bringeth forth trees. I got me servants and maidens, and I had servants born in my house. I had great possessions of great and small cattle above all that were in Jerusalem before me. I gathered me also silver and gold and peculiar treasure of the kings and of the provinces. I got me men singers and woman singers and the delights of the sons of men as musical instruments and so all sorts. So I was great and increased more than all that were before me in Jerusalem. Also my wisdom remained with me. And listen to this, whatsoever mine eyes desired, I kept not from them. I withheld not my heart from any joy, for my heart rejoiced in all my labor, and this was my portion of all my labor. Look at this testimony. If Solomon wanted something, what did he do? He got it. He had more stuff than anybody else. If Solomon saw stuff, it was his stuff. He got it, okay? Now, you would expect the next verse to say, and I was the happiest guy around, right? What did Solomon find out when he got all the stuff? Okay, what's the key word in the book? Vanity, which means empty. Empty. And look at verse 11. Then I looked at all the works that my hands had wrought and on the labor that I had labored to do, and behold, all was vanity and vexation of spirit, and there was no profit under the sun. Wow. Let me read you a couple other verses out of Ecclesiastes. Verse 1, and he starts the book this way. Vanities of vanities, saith the preacher, vanity of vanities, all is vanity. Wow, that's a rather strong statement. In chapter 5 and verse 10, it says, he that loveth silver shall not be satisfied with silver. We found a lot of silver that my parents had. Guess what? Nobody wants it. You know why? It tarnishes, and it's a pain to take care of, but nobody wants to do that. He ends the book, chapter 12, verse 8, vanity of vanity, saith the preacher, all is vanity. You know what? If your life is all about stuff, here's something I can guarantee. It's kind of a family joke, because for years, whenever we'd see some of this, you know, humongous houses and all this great, Hannah would always say, they're not happy. Now, it's possible that they really are. But the simple matter of fact is, if you're trying to find happiness in stuff, I can tell you right now, you're not happy. And you won't be. You say, but if I had a little more money. And so you get a little more money, and then you want a little more money. It's a treadmill, folks, that you never get off of. If you're trying to find satisfaction in life with your stuff, you're not going to. If Solomon couldn't, the man who had the most, then we're not going to either. And by the way, in Ecclesiastes 2, I'm not going to read it because I'm running out of time, but in the rest of the chapter, he says, you know what, I did all this stuff, and then I have to leave it to somebody, and I don't know what kind of people they're going to be like, if they're going to be wise and take care of it. You've heard this before. What do you never see behind a hearse? Now, my mom and dad collected all that stuff for 80 years, and my mom didn't take any of that stuff with her, and my dad won't either. In fact, we were trying to sell most of it for a quarter. And you won't either. When you die, friends, and you meet the Lord, you're not going to have any stuff with you. And yet, if you're like me, what tends to consume 95 or 100% of our life? Think about it. Accumulating stuff. And it won't satisfy. It's not going to satisfy. Let me give you the second one. By the way, for years, I had a plaque on my wall. I'm surprised I didn't find it in the stuff. It's probably in one of those boxes hidden somewhere. Only one life will soon be passed. Only what's done for Christ will last. Hey, where's your treasure? What is your treasure? Now, if I look through your stuff, I'm going to be able to tell, aren't I? What's really important to you? What's really important to me? There's no satisfaction in stuff. Turn to Mark chapter 10. I've got 8 minutes. I've got to hustle. Mark chapter 10. This is one of the passages I read in my devotions last week. As I'm reading through the Bible, just happened to read these verses. Mark chapter 10 and verse 17. Here's a guy who's got a stuff problem, okay? And he says in verse 17, and when he was gone forth into the way, there came one running and kneeled to him. There he came to the Lord and asked him, good master, what shall I do that I may inherit eternal life? And Jesus said unto him, why callest me good? There's none good but one, that is God. Thou knowest the commandments. And he gives them all the commandments that deal with men. Do not commit adultery, do not kill, do not steal, do not bear false witness, defraud not, honor thy mother and thy father. And he answered and said unto him, master, all these I have observed from my youth. Then Jesus, beholding him, loved him and said unto him, one thing thou lackest, go thy way, sell whatsoever thou hast, and give to the poor, and thou shalt have treasure in heaven, and come and take up thy cross and follow me. Now, let me ask you a question. What was the Lord telling this man? That you're saved by your works? You've got to sell all your stuff. If you'll sell it all and give it to poor people, you'll go to heaven? What was he doing? What's the point? What was the man's problem? He loved the stuff more than he loved God. See, he quoted all the commandments dealing with men. And what did the Lord say? Here's the big problem, buddy. You forgot the first commandment. Thou shalt love the Lord thy God. And he's saying, your problem is you love all the stuff. And if you'll get rid of the stuff and love God and follow me, he said, it'll be a different matter. And what happened to this guy? In verse 22, and he was sad at that saying and went away grieved, for he had great possessions. Some of the hardest people to win to Christ are people who have a lot of stuff. Why is that? They're depending on the stuff, aren't they? They're depending on the stuff. In fact, it's interesting in this passage, the Lord goes on to say, hey, guys, they said, Lord, if this rich guy can't be saved, who can be? And you remember what he said? He said, a camel, it's harder for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than a rich person to be saved. What's he saying? Well, the stuff keeps them from Christ. And you, every one of you, met people like that. They're lost, but they've got all the stuff. They think they're great. They're okay, and they won't get saved. Now, let me give you one final one. No satisfaction, no salvation. Thirdly, and let's apply this to us, no service. No service for God. We don't serve the Lord because we're too busy. Oh, we'd like you to come and serve the Lord. Well, I would if I didn't work four jobs. Why are you working four jobs? Well, because I got a house I really can't afford, and so I got to make the mortgage payment, and I got this and this and this and this, and I've got all this stuff I got to pay for, and I got all this money on my credit card. And if I don't work three jobs, if I don't work overtime every day of my life, I can't pay for all the stuff. Now, if that's true of you, how much are you going to serve the Lord? By the way, just financial tip from Seaman. If you can't pay your credit card off every month, chop it up. Get rid of it. Throw it away. Now, again, I love my parents, but one of the things we've been doing was every month, all of us children been giving money to help pay off a credit card. Okay? Now, hallelujah, Lord willing, as a 55-year-old man, I covenant with the Lord and with you that when I die, my children won't have to pay off my credit cards because I'm paying them off every month. Now, I do use credit cards because I get free air miles. When I go to Colorado, I fly free. So I'm not against credit cards unless you can't pay them off, okay? That's just a little thing on the side there, okay? If you're so busy paying for the stuff that you don't have time to serve the Lord, then the stuff has won. And the devil has won. Because you can't serve the Lord because you're too busy with the stuff. We are so stretched financially that we can't do it. Now, there's a man in our church, and I'm not going to give his name. Several years ago, had a beautiful home, nice place, and he put it up for sale, and I thought, what's he doing that for? So I asked him, and he said, I am going to downgrade, this is not exact wording, but I'm going to downgrade so my finances aren't tied up so much, so that when the Lord wants me to do something for somebody, I can. Have you ever taken a love offering or faith promise Sunday and your heart says you need to give this amount and you're saying, whoa, there's no way because of all the debt? And because we've accumulated all the stuff and the payments for the stuff, when God puts on your heart to help somebody, humanly speaking, you can't. Does that make sense to you? See, the stuff not only keeps us from giving to the Lord, but it keeps us from serving the Lord. And I want you real quickly, turn to Luke chapter 12. We're just about done here. You're doing really well. Okay, you're hanging in there. Luke chapter 12, verse 13. Now, we don't usually apply this story to us. But I tell you what, there's a great application. We'll see it in the last verse. Luke chapter 12, verse 16. And he spake a parable unto them, saying, the ground of a certain rich man brought forth plentifully. And he thought within himself, saying, what shall I do? Because I have no room where to bestow my... Now, what should that word be? Stuff. There you go. I can't put my stuff. And this I'll do. I'll pull down my barns and I'll build greater. And there will I bestow all my stuff. This is the Seaman translation, and lots more stuff. And I will say to my soul, so thou hast much stuff laid up for many years. Take thine easy, drink, and be merry. But God said unto him, thou fool, this night shall be required of thee. Then who shall those things be which thou hast provided? See what the Lord, what's he saying? When you die, who gets all the stuff? It's not yours. You're gone. Now notice verse 21. So is he that layeth up treasure for himself and is not rich toward God. Is there an application for our lives? You bet. You bet. Let me ask you a question. This week, how much did you invest in the Lord's work? And how much did you invest in your own work? Now, again, I know we have to work to pay the bills. I understand that. And we have to have places to live. We have to have cars to drive. I understand that. But we don't have to have the nicest of everything. Look, if you're too busy to serve the Lord, then friend, you are too busy. And you've got to cut out some of that stuff. And if you're so tied up financially that you can't give to the Lord, and by the way, there's great freedom that we can say this because the Lord has been very good to our church, and the bills are paid, and we have money in the bank, and God is, but that's not the point. The point is we need to be obedient to the Lord. The Lord says to do it. And when God speaks to my heart and says, hey, you need to give my cupboard $100. He hadn't said that yet, Mike. I need to be able to be in a financial place that I can say, yes, Lord, and give him $100. Okay? But if I'm up to my neck in hock, I can't do that. I'm saying, Lord, I need it more than Mike does. You know, maybe I can get him to give me $100. See? Now, let me close. Again, let me say this, it's not wrong to have stuff. And you've heard, it's not wrong to have stuff, but it's wrong for the stuff to have you. Let me ask you a question. Do you have stuff or does your stuff have you? Is your stuff your master? Matthew chapter 6 is about stuff, isn't it? Talks about, don't worry about what you eat. That's to the men. And don't worry about what you put on. That's the women, okay? But he says in Matthew 6 and verse 33, you know this, but seek ye first. Now, he doesn't say it's wrong. I'll be honest with you. I'm glad you spent money to have clothes to wear today. I really am, you know. I'm glad that you had something to eat, although all of us could eat less. But he doesn't say those things are wrong to have, but he says, but seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. And what, how does the verse end? What's God going to do? He said, look, you don't worry about the stuff. You seek the kingdom of God first. And what's God going to do? He's going to take care of the stuff. He's going to take care of the stuff. Okay? When your children go through your stuff someday, what will it reveal about you? Will it reveal that you love God? That you serve God? That you loved his word? And then also, finally, how are you doing with the stuff? Now, if you just live a normal, natural life, the stuff will overtake you. You don't have to set out to be overtaken by the stuff. Your flesh will take care of that for you. But a spirit-controlled believer must say, I am more concerned about the kingdom of God and serving God than I am about the stuff. Hallelujah, when I die, the stuff is still going to be here, and what I did for the kingdom of God is going to live on forever, and it's true for you too. So this week, let me encourage you. Invest in the eternal, not the temporary. Don't be consumed by the stuff. Love the Lord with all your heart and serve him and not the stuff. Okay? We'll get back to 1 Thessalonians next week, Lord willing. Lord, we do thank you for your love and care for us. God, help us to love you with all of our hearts. Lord, help us to put you first in every area of our lives, we pray. And God, as we're sitting here today convicted about all the stuff and what we sacrifice to have it, help us to make vows to you to seek the kingdom first. And let you take care of this stuff. In Jesus' name, amen.